Lots of news around. We spoke with Tony McAvoy yesterday, and then he announced late yesterday afternoon that he is closing down his Hawkesbury and Randwick stables. He's notified both clubs. He'll be trialling a few at Randwick tomorrow, but he'll be closing the Randwick stables as soon as possible. He's likely to have one horse going forward at Hawkesbury called Sense of Occasion, who is likely to run in the run on Anzac Day at Randwick and then go to the Lord Mayor's Mackell Cup and hopefully the Brisbane Cup. That's Sense of Occasion, but he's expected to close both stables pretty quickly. It's the information I'm hearing. Mark Newnham, who we know is turning to training, he's going to reapply to try and get stables at Randwick rather than the Warwick Farm one. So we'll wait and see what plays out with Mark Newnham, given Tony McAvoy's decision yesterday. Well, our first guest hasn't ridden in a race since February 13 of this year. Chris Parnham, I talk of. The Parnham name, a well-known name in WA racing, and he's certainly making a fist of it in Victoria. Chris is online after battling some pretty bad health since that last ride. Morning to you, Chris.
Hey, morning, Andrew.
Good to talk to you. I know you're over at home, and you've been home through all this, which we'll explain to our listeners. You haven't been in the best of health.
No, not really. About just over 2 months ago, I had a bit of an accident at jump outs at Cranbourne and broke my foot pretty badly and ended up having to have surgery on it. Had a plate inserted with four screws and then ended up getting a golden staph infection in my foot, which it's taken about 6 weeks to get over. But, yeah, look, that looks to be behind me now and just looking forward to getting back riding.
Let's hope so. I mean, at the time, mate, were you home in Perth when you got golden staph?
I was, yeah. I came home to get the surgery as well, so...
Right.
I was at home for the whole thing, yeah.
Okay. I mean, when I think of golden staph, you just think very bad things. The infection, what do the doctors say about it, how it got into you? Was it a part of that incident within the barriers?
No, it wasn't to at the jump outs. It was definitely from the surgery.
Right.
There was no open wounds when I felt the track. It was just... after I got cut open, some sort of bugs got in there, the golden staph infection. And, look, it's a pretty nasty infection, but if you're pretty young like I am and you sort of get onto it pretty quickly, you're generally okay.
And the process of getting rid of it, is it a case of antibiotics? Is it treatment that you had to receive in hospital with medicine, tubes or any that sort of stuff?
Initially they knew it was infected, but they didn't really know what sort of infection it was. So I was on antibiotics, but, I was on the wrong antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
Took them, you know, a good week to actually work out what the infection was. And then I, eventually got a PICC line in my arm, which, runs up through my veins and, close to my heart, and it was pumping vancomycin antibiotics through me.
Right.
I had that in for about 3 weeks, and then at the same time I was on, had to take 6 tablets today, clindamycin tablets, which I only stopped taking yesterday.
Jeez, mate, you've been through hell.
Oh, yeah, no, oh, sort of, but there's plenty of people out there that's been through worse things.
Yeah, I understand, but just from a personal point of view, as a young bloke, you had the energy, obviously, and whatever to get through, but the treatment that you've had to receive, they called on virtually everything by the sounds of it.
Yeah, well, there's all different sort of antibiotics to kill different sort of bugs, but... yeah, thankfully, the ones I was on worked.
Yeah, exactly. And the good news is that you're now back riding track work.
Yeah, I began riding track work on Tuesday morning. Only been riding 2 or 3 a morning, but, yeah, slowly building my fitness up and getting all the riding muscles back on track. But, Yeah, look, I'm really enjoying coming back riding track work, and probably back race riding in 2 to 3 weeks, and then after I've probably been race riding in Perth for a couple of weeks, I'll head back over to Victoria.
Understand. Hey, I've got to ask you, how's the foot? That the initial issue, is it giving you no harm now while you're riding track work?
It hadn't the first 2 days. This morning I had a tiny bit of an incident where my foot got caught up in the iron a little bit, but
hang on, Chris. What are you doing there? You should be riding with your feet out.
No, it wasn't a serious, nothing serious, but it just sort of aggravated the plate in the foot a little bit. But I'll be riding track work tomorrow. It wasn't yeah. massive.
No, I understand. Well, the good news for everything that you've been through is that you've started riding track work, and you just, when things like that happen, you like to have family around, and fortunately there you were in Perth and the whole family were there.
It was good to have all the family around, and it was probably a week after I broke my foot. I headed back to WA, but the doctors actually in Victoria told me that I wouldn't need surgery, and then got to back home and they said it'll definitely need surgery. So it was probably good that I came back home, otherwise I might have had a bung foot the rest of my life.
Well, you might have been out for ages, who knows. But anyway, it's worked in a positive way with everything that you've been through. We wish you the best, Chris. We look out for you over in WA in a couple of weeks. And as you say, you just want to kick start it there and then head back to Victoria.
Yeah, I just want to sort of blow out the cobwebs a bit in WA and just get back in rhythm and do everything. Probably make the little mistakes you make when you first get back from an injury back home, and then once I'm sort of fully back into it, back to full strength and full fitness, I'll head back to Victoria.
Chris, good luck.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew.
Good on you. Thanks for coming on over in WA. Chris Parnham from the famous Parnham family, and he's been through Golden Staff and the like, but the good news is he's now back riding track work. Peter Galagotis is in Victoria down at Moe with Mourinho and the Cleaner. Just wanted to get an update on the pair there. Morning to you, Pete.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Yeah, good to talk to you. There was a report earlier this year that Mourinho may have indeed run his last race, but talking to you off air yesterday, that's not the case.
No. Look, he slightly strained his tendon up high behind the knee, and the prognosis is a speedy sort of a recovery and very minor, and we're hopeful that we can have him back for the spring.
So at the moment, given that it was a little strain, there was obviously no tear, and you've been able to work through that.
Yeah, that's correct. It all depends on the horse now. He's 8 year old, and their recovery is not as quick as what they are when they're younger. But, we're mindful and hopeful that he can put it together and come back.
So what's he up to, given that you obviously gave him time out when it first happened? What's he doing at the moment, Pete?
Well, you don't actually give him time out. He's just continued to just walk on the... I've got a treadmill facility here at our property, and he's just continued to walk until, the inflammation completely subsides. And then you sort of slowly build them back into their work. He had a scan the other day, and he's well on the way to healing. So we just keep monitoring his progress. And if all things are equal and we can have him back, he'll be back. If not, might have to wait a little bit longer. And if that doesn't sort of pan out, well, he'll enjoy his retirement, I suppose.
Those water walkers or treadmills, as you've described it there, they must be good because you can put them at an angle to get the horse to work a little bit harder.
Well, the idea of treadmills is a controlled environment and in a straight line. When you're doing the preliminary rehab sort of work on horses that are coming, that are sustaining an injury, it's all done on the flat.
Yep.
And as you progress through the rehab sort of stages, you can increase the angle. And the good thing is that with angle, it takes load off their fronts and you can keep them sound. I suppose I've had a lot of success with horses that have been unsound over the time. And, Mourinho was unsound as an early young horse, and got him back on track with the use of the treadmill. Module was another one. You know, he ended up winning a bag of handicap.
Yeah.
Pretty much straight off the machine. So, you know, they're a useful tool. They serve their purpose. Again, not the be-all, end-all, but it does help.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're going around on uneven surfaces at the track, you know, the sand might be dry one morning, the next morning it's perfect. And the uneven surface is what creates the discrepancies in their gait. Whereas, you know, on a treadmill, it's the same surface every day and it's neat and even and you can control it with the speed of the machine. So yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
You're not relying on rider to get it right for you.
Yeah.
So it takes away the error.
No, I understand. Well, it sounds like you've got it under control. It's a case of just stepping it up, I guess, when you get to sort of, you know, June, when a normal spring preparation would begin, Pete?
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. You know, like if all's well by the 1st of June, you know, we start rolling them along quietly and, you know, they can do their first, you know, 6 weeks of preliminary trot and canter work, get that little bit of a base fitness into them and have them ready, hopefully, for the early spring races. In the cleaner's case, he's got a clean bill of health as we speak.
Yep.
So you know, he's on target, providing no reoccurrence of his little injury that he sustained.
He got a little suspensory, didn't he?
Yeah, just a slight strain of his suspensory, nothing serious, and he's got over it pretty well, I reckon. So, you know, it's as they get older, things don't hold together as well, and we're just hopeful that he does stay together and he can perform to his best, and it'd be a good result for the owners if you can get him back.
One of the owners was there earlier in the week, you were telling me?
That's correct, yep. Bill Fawdry came over with his family and spent a couple of days in sunny Maui. We provided some nice weather for them and some entertainment at our establishment. They got to look at our facility and their horse going through his little regime that he's at the moment, and they were very happy.
We're looking forward. We're crossing the fingers you can get him back. You're a strong horse family. Manny, I saw him at the sales. We wish you the best, mate. I hope that both Mourinho and the cleaner can stand up to preparations and that we can see them back in some time in the spring.
Well, look, both horses, Andrew, you nearly consider them the people's horses. You know, they're old warriors, and the general public have warmed to those horses. You know, they're no frills. They just get out there, do the job. And you know, if we can sort of get them back and present them in the right health and form, that'd be great. But I reassure everybody that, you know, loves those two horses that they won't be persevered with if they're not sound and 100% right.
Understand. Good on you, Pete.
No,
thanks for joining us. Good on you, mate.
Bye.
Peter Galagoda's trainer there of Mourinho and the cleaner. Well, as we know now, the Eagle Farm new track, the first meeting is going to be the Oaks Day on June 4. Let's get an update from Warren Williams from the club there, the Brisbane Racing Club. Morning to you, Warren.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew.
Warren, you just felt the right thing to do was to not have that meeting in mid-May and go first up into the Oaks to give it more time?
That's right. Andrew, I think just we're eyeing a little bit of caution here. There's been a bit of around the industry, around Australia, that racing on tracks too early can be a little bit detrimental. So we've taken that caution in conjunction with Racing Queensland and the contractors Evergreen Turf. So as you said, 4th of June is our first meeting, and we will have barrier trials, though, on it most likely at the probably the third week in May.
Okay, so we'll get to see barrier trials on it.
Mm.
I guess most people bring up the buffering gallop, which was, I'm going to say, 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And a lot of people instantly saw that and saw clods coming up. Now, can you take us through between that gallop 6 or 7 weeks ago to now, how the surface has improved?
Yeah, look, there's a valid point there, what you've just noted. What's happened, we've been through probably a horrendous summer for Brisbane, January, February, probably one of the driest on record and one of the hottest on record, and I think most of Australia have been in the same case, but we had really bad humidity and a lot of disease attack into this grass, and it set it back a lot during that period where normally you'd have lots of rain and fairly good growth. So we came out of that early March, grass was underdone, we sort of committed ourselves for letting Buffering go on the track before he went away, and that's what happened. But going forward from there, with our weather's changed, we've changed a few maintenance practices and our regimes in the track, I would have to say he's increased at least 300% on what it was on that day.
Okay. Someone told me, and I think Ron Duffersey might have mentioned it the other morning on our show, which obviously you may not have heard being based in Brisbane, but the going stick's being used and it's showing to you that there is improvement?
Oh, yeah, that's correct. Yeah, we're adopting or trialling the going stick. We did a lot of work with it years ago when it first hit the market, and we've been using that, and it's a very, very good tool for providing surface profile hardness and the shear strength of the turf. Yep. And that's the critical areas that we really need to concentrate, and that's improving by the week.
Okay. So you're confident, given the weather you're getting now and what you said there with a different regime, looking after the wetness, I guess, of watering the track and things like that, that you're confident that come those barrier trials the third week of May that we're going to see a lot better track?
Oh, yeah, 100%. We had some horses go on it last week, and from Buffering to there, it was just an amazing difference in how the horses handled the track and the damage to the track. There was very little divoting. And it was just more about a hoof print, and that was about it.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's fantastic. We look forward to it. I was looking forward to getting there in May, but now counting the days down to June 4, the week leading in, and as you say, those barrier trials, they're going to create a great deal of interest, aren't they?
Yeah, they will, and I suppose if you wanted to come up here now, it wouldn't be a very healthy site, because I counted about 200 construction workers on site here at the moment, so...
Well,
this morning, so there's a fair bit of activity happening.
I saw the big TV monitor, or the big, well, how do you describe it, Warren? It's massive, isn't it?
Video screen, yeah. It's 44 metres long by 11 metres high. So, and very big remote control to operate it, too.
Yes, I think you'd need six or seven of them to operate it, but I've seen it there on a photo somewhere. It's all coming together. The main thing is that we'll see the barrier trials the third week of May and then look at Eagle Farm's return for the Oaks on June 4. I think you've given us a good summary and a positive feel about how it has progressed over that last 6 or 7 weeks. We'll stay in contact with you, Warren.
Right, no worries, Andrew.
Thanks very much, mate. Warren Williams there from the Brisbane Racing Club with an update on Eagle Farm. I mentioned on the show yesterday, Port Macquarie had a couple of horses work on a brand new surface yesterday, and the club secretary, Michael Bowman's online. Morning to you, Mike.
Morning, Andrew.
Thanks for sending that through yesterday. I tweeted it, so hopefully people have seen it. But for those that didn't, take us through what you've done there at Port Macquarie.
Well, we haven't raced since the 22nd of April, so of last year, so 12 months and still another couple of months to go. But we redid the sand track, and the course proper has been completely rebuilt. Every square inch has been dug down about 16 inches, and we've got a like an all-weather track. It's the perch water table, and the early signs are very good. I think I told you there was 30 mils on
Sunday
night,
yep.
And it was still a good ball, but it was actually Monday night, 33 mils, and we had 16 mils on the Sunday night. So
you had a fair bit of rain, and it still came up as a good track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and the perch water table appears to be working fine, but you've still got that layer of moisture above the drainage layer. So we're very happy with it at this stage.
Okay. Were they the first horses to gallop on it yesterday, Mike?
Yeah, they were. They just a low-key three-quarter gallop. But I walked around the track with the curator and David Hodgson from Racing New South Wales, and there wasn't hardly a mark on it.
Yeah, fantastic. So what's the intention going forward to when you want to race again, Mike?
We'll probably run some jump outs and then hopefully an official barrier trial in the middle of May to sign off. And it looks like it'll be the Sunday the 19th of June, which is actually the Wauchope Cup meeting.
Okay.
So it's just that the timing ended up that way. And after that, probably just one meeting a month to preserve it over the winter. So we don't want to hammer it too early. And coming up to the Cup on the 7th of October.
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to seeing it back, Port Macquarie. Good to have that vision so people can see it through social media. We'll stay in contact with you, Dave, once we get closer to those barrier trials and back racing in the middle part of June. But we appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you very much, Andrew.
Good on you, Mike. Michael Bowman there from Port Macquarie. Lots of general racing news around. Volk Stock and Barrel is going to run in the Prime Minister's Cup at the Gold Coast on May 7. And Blake Shin's been booked to take the ride there. Sam Clipperton will maintain the ride on English when she runs in the Group 1 BTC Cup at Doomben on May 14. Extravagant, the Kiwi three-year-old, had a gallop yesterday between races at Tiaraha and came through it okay, according to Steve Aldridge. The track wasn't suitable 100%, but the horses pulled up well, having a little blow. It's 9 days from its next run. It'll gallop next week, and then we'll have a chat with Steve Aldridge. But Extravagant, likely to have one run in New Zealand and then go to the Brisbane Winter Carnival. Vancouver is now trained by Aidan O'Brien at Ballydoyle in Ireland. I noted overnight the Royal Ascot entries have come out and he's been entered for the King Stand, the Diamond Jubilee, the Queen Anne and the Prince of Wales at 2,000 metres. That tells me that Aidan O'Brien's learning a lot about Vancouver. Sebastian Hatch is joining us from Coolmore, Australia. Morning to you, Sebastian.
Andrew, how are you?
I'm very well. Thanks for your time. What are the reports? What are you hearing from Aidan O'Brien and the others at Ballydoyle?
Look, to be honest, Andrew, Aidan's ecstatic with the horse. He's been very patient with him, but everything he's shown him so far has really impressed him. You know, we're still in the early stages, or they're still in the early stages of the spring in Europe. So there's only so much work horses can do at the early stages in the spring.
Yep.
But everything he's seen of the horse is, indicates that he's very high class. He had an opinion of the horse prior to him travelling. He felt like he looked a very versatile sort of horse. I think the more work he's doing with him, the more comprehensive understanding of him that he's developing. I think his feeling is that ultimately he's a speed horse. He's given him a fairly wide range of entries, but that's not unusual. But I think his gut feeling at this stage is that he's a speed horse.
So without putting words in your mouth, I mean, the entries are there for those longer races like the Queen Anne. I know nothing will be ruled out, but we might be looking at the Diamond Jubilee, maybe a ride option at 6 furlongs?
I think so. I think for those of us in Australia, when the horse was leaving, it looked the obvious race for him. It's a stiff 6 at Ascot. There's a relatively testing finish. And, you know, based on what experience we have of the horse in Australia, it looks like the sort of race that would suit him perfectly. Good, strong tempo early. And, you know, he runs out a stiff 6 furlongs. Well, we saw that in the slipper.
Yep.
But look, it's a world-class sprint. It's arguably the most cosmopolitan sprint in the world. So it's never going to be anything but a top-class test. So
I guess the key from you, Sebastian, this morning is just what you've said relevant to how the horse has settled in, that he's obviously doing everything at this early stage of what Aidan is after.
Aidan is one of the world's greatest horsemen. You know, he's a fantastic understanding of what it is to manage quality horse flesh. Traditionally, he's been rewarded by a patient approach. There's a blueprint there for him with a horse like Star Spangled Banner, with whom he was tremendously successful. As you saw, you think went up there, was hugely successful. Haradison and the likes. You know, it's a well-worn path. I think this horse has Aidan at least as excited as he's been by any of the other horses, potentially even more. And, you know, we're obviously very excited. I mean, the next months to 6 weeks will be very formative. I'd imagine his preference would probably be for the horse to have a run prior to Ascot, irrespective of what race he'll run in. And that'll certainly give everybody a pretty good guide as to where he's at.
Where he's going, yeah, for sure. Now, I just noted that, and look, it is a case of like our entries for our big feature racing here, Sebastian, that you throw him in everything and then wait and see what unfolds.
Yeah, absolutely. If you poke through the list of entries for the rest of the Ballydoyle Stable Stars, you'll see that it's a fairly common theme. And most of the other leading trainers are the same. You just look, as is the case with everybody, options are very important. You know, there's so many varying factors. You know, if you don't have options, you put yourself in a compromised position.
I noted that the stud fees, they're all being brought out by the different properties, and Coolmore did yours, I think, yesterday or the day before. I noted that Star Spangled Banner's returning.
When you rang me this morning, Andrew, I thought you were ringing to tell me you bought a mare and wanted to breed her 20 stallions.
Well, Star Spangled Banner is one that's starting to... I mean, I know he's had issues earlier on, but he's turned it around in the last couple of seasons.
Oh, look, he's an excellent stallion. You know, his figures from, you know, limited exposure are fantastic. He's more than capable of getting a very high-class horse. He's had his issues with his fertility, nature, patience, and the fantastic management of somebody like Anthony Mithen and his team at Rosemont have meant that time has allowed him to overcome such issues or appear to have overcome such issues. He covered well at Rosemont last year. He's in Ireland at the moment covering exceptionally well and getting mares in foal at an incredible rate. You know, there's huge appetite for a horse of that quality in the Hunter Valley, and there's a great, you know, really there's a window for a proven stallion like him in that price range in the Hunter Valley. We've been inundated with inquiries for the horse since we announced that he'd be coming here in the spring, and we're very hopeful that he'll have a busy season and hopefully a promising stud career ahead of him.
He stands at 24,750 later on this year. Pride of Dubai is another new one at 55,000, and Vancouver sits there at 66, a new addition, obviously, after racing in Europe this season coming up there. We stand by for more on Vancouver. He's a horse with a great deal of interest going forward. Thanks for your time this morning, Sebastian.
Pleasure. Look, we'll keep you posted as best we can.
No, good on you, mate. Sebastian Hatch joining us there from Coolmore out in the Hunter Valley. Let's focus in on Hong Kong now. Steve Moran, leading racing journalist from Australia, works for the Hong Kong Jockey Club this week and next. I'd nearly swapped jobs. I love what I do, but to be in Hong Kong for this weekend and the weekend after, Steve, I reckon I might swap you.
Okay, well, put that in writing, Andrew, and I'll consider it very strongly. We're missing you here in Hong Kong. I'm at the track at Sha Tin this morning, of course, as we speak, looking forward to the international horses coming out to work in the next hour or so, and the barrier draw, of course, later today for the AP QE2 Cup on Sunday, and that might be barrier draws. We can talk a lot of waffle about them sometimes, but it might be significant in this race because they're pretty evenly graded.
And there's not a long run from the 2,000-metre start to that first turn?
No, that's very true. I think the draw here is probably more about the horses who want to stalk the speed, and that's so many of them in this race this year, and you'd be sort of hopeful that they draw handily, and in that category is certainly Rising Romance for David Hayes. She's came out on the bus this morning with David. He's reasonably bullish. Rising Romance is one. It's interesting that four of her five wins have been right-handed. Hopefully we get another shower or two because that little bit of ease in the ground would suit her, according to David, who's had three previous place getters in this race. Of course, Criterion last year, and back when he was based in Hong Kong, he had Elegant Fashion, the mare, run second on consecutive years in 03 and 04. And this morning, Hazy said, well, look, I would compare Rising Romance, Elegant Fashion as fairly similar, not only in gender but at ability. He thinks it's a pretty hot race, but he does feel that she can be competitive.
The reports are she's settled in pretty good, and I think she's going to gallop later this morning on the turf in front of Dave?
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah.
And I think she'll have a semi-serious hit out this morning, probably, you know, three-quarters to the 400 and skip home the last 400. A girl called Alexandra Slattery looks after the horse. She has for some time. She's worked for David for about 6 years, and she's really pleased with Rising Romance. She's very relaxed, and Alexandra said she's always a very relaxed mare, and it's actually a good sign when she starts to just fire up a little bit, and she said that that's exactly what the mare has done in the last couple of days, so she's happy and enjoying the surrounds here in Hong Kong.
Japanese, how strong are they here with the three runners, Steve, in the
QE2?
Very strong,
Andrew. I think you have to default to them being the most likely winners. Lovely Day is the top pick, and of course they've engaged Marira, so you're going to get no price now anywhere, probably Australia or Hong Kong. But this is the horse who put four together before running an excellent third in the Japan Cup. His next run in the Arima McKinnon was probably just one run too many, and then he resumed, and it was a rather interesting run when he was first up in Japan. I suggest you Google it and have a look at it, and I'll leave it to you to make up your own mind about his performance on that occasion. But I think he's the best credentialed horse, Lovely Day. Nuova Record, of course, ran second in the Cup in December behind Eishin Hikari. And Satono Crown, who comes here with Japanese Derby form and is the last start winner and may well go forward. I think they're probably the horses to beat in this year's edition.
Okay, so we watch for the Japanese and watch for that draw later today with Rising Romance. Michael Hawkes and Rob Heathcote are about to join us to talk about their charges, but one horse that hasn't had a lot of publicity is Bow Creek for Godolphin. Have you spotted him yet, Steve?
No, he hasn't come out. He didn't come out yesterday morning. I'm sure he will this morning. He's listed to come out and canter on the all-weather track, but I can give you no reconnaissance on him at this stage.
Okay, well, we'll have to wait and see on that. The suggestion is that certainly the horse may have just taken a day or two to settle in, and I think the intention is to give him at least a canter on the all-weather track. And what's your, as Michael Hawkes is, I'll give you the pre-warning, Michael Hawkes is listing here, and Rob Heathcote will be shortly. What's your instinct on these horses since arriving?
Well, look, Chautauqua is... You know, he's the world's highest rated sprinter at the moment, and he's entitled to be. Michael seemed to be quite relaxed and at peace with the world yesterday morning, which I think is always a good sign when the trainer who's travelling a horse is quite at peace and relaxed. So I think the vibe's probably good with him. He'll have a couple of easy days, I'm sure, but Michael will tell you more. And Buffering, gee, the old boy looks great. He looks much better than when he came here in December 2014 when he wasn't on song and he ran sixth. You know, what you see is what you get with Buffering. He'll run a sound race.
Yep.
Whether he can win remains to be seen. He looks great.
We're looking forward to it. Steve, we'll talk again between now and next week to build it up, but we look forward this Sunday, Rising Romance lining up in the Queen Elizabeth II Cup at Sha Tin, and we'll get that barrier draw later today. Thanks a lot, Steve.
How much do you get paid, Andrew?
Not enough. No.
Thanks, mate.
Good on you. Steve Moran joining us there at Sha Tin. Peace at the world. Peace. He's happy. Michael Hawkes, good morning.
Andy, how you going? All right?
I'm well. Are you peace? Are you in a peaceful frame of mood this morning?
Mate, we're always relaxed up here. It's very good. We're relaxed at home too, for that matter. I don't know what Steve's on about.
Well, he probably doesn't see a lot of you. How has Chautauqua settled in?
Yeah, he's really good. He's he survived the flight up here well, and it's just taken him really a couple of days to settle in, as it would normally coming into an environment that he's not used to before. And I'm just watching him having a good walk around. There's a big ring here that we can use inside the quarantine. He's having a good walk around now before he goes out for a bit of track work later on, but he's lovely and bright. He's got his ears pricked. He actually looks really, really good.
I know you've given him a couple of easy mornings since arriving, just to light canters on that all-weather track. Do you plan to give him one decent hit out?
Yeah, he'll probably go out on Friday on the grass and have a bit of an easy gallop there, all going well. And then, obviously, next Tuesday, he'll have his main gallop heading into the Sunday meet. So, now, up here, they're very accommodating for what they give you and what you can have access to. We get access to two grass gallops a week if you want it. And, you know, as I said, they do bend over backwards. They're a very, very good club in that respect that, you know, they're trying to get these horses here. I think there's 12 international horses here for this meet this time of year. I remember when I'd come with Dow Dow years ago, there was just Presidus and Dow Dow here for the Champions Mile. So it's actually a meeting that's gone ahead and leaps and bounds. So you've got to give the Hong Kong Jockey Club full credit. But what you can get here is very, very good, and the horse is very pleased.
I noted a tweet of 25 minutes ago. The decision has been made. Tommy Berry is to ride Chautauqua in the Chairman's Sprint Prize Sunday, May 1. So your father and Wayne and yourself and the owners have obviously made this decision that Tommy, who rode the horse obviously last start, will get the chance in Hong Kong.
Yeah, I tweeted it out just to let everyone know. You know, everyone has been asking, and obviously I had confirmation last night when I spoke to Dad. And, you know, it's obviously a decision that, you know, we didn't take lightly. Wayne and I and Dad obviously talked about it, but at the end of the day, it was up to Dad, and the decision was left to him. You know, the decision has obviously been based on the best interest for everyone involved, and it wasn't something that Dad would have taken lightly, but it was something that he would have, well, he has been thinking about for a long time. So you can't take credit away for both riders. They've done a super job on the horse, but obviously Dad's decided to go with Tommy. And that doesn't detract anything from away from Dwayne at all. And as I said, it's a team effort, and that's what it's all about.
Well, we look forward to Sunday week. We'll get through this week. We'll try and yell out for Rising Romance lining up in the QE2 Cup. I know you'll enjoy that, and you'll enjoy the travels here. I also noted, obviously, the Royal Ascot entries came out overnight, and the horses there for the Diamond Jubilee over the 1,200 metres. That was the sole race you've entered for?
That was the only race, obviously the 1,200 metres. We didn't enter for the King's Stand. And obviously, we just want to get through here first and worry about Hong Kong. And if that happens, it happens. And, you know, it's obviously the second leg for us for the Global Sprint Challenge. And if he does win, well, then it's obviously going forward $2 million reasons that we have to think about looking at it. So we're worrying about here, Hong Kong first. And then everything else later. And, you know, I did see Rising Romance just before Hazy turned up. David, he arrived last night. I just saw him. You know, she looks great. You know, Buffering looks outstanding. You know, the Aussie horses up here, they're really relaxed, which is great. It's a good sign. And even Bow Creek, for that matter, he looks superb, and he travelled up really good.
Hey, I'm just about to chat with Rob Heathcote. What about the photo? I'm not too sure who took it. But unbelievable response to Twitter. It's just gone all around the world. The amount of retweets, I'll actually get it up and I'll mention it while I'm interviewing Rob, but it's a photo of the two horses together being held by you and Rob. And, mate, it's just gone bang, bang, bang all around the place.
Yeah, unbelievable. I got him out and obviously he was saddled up, our bloke, and Rob had Buffering and it was Rob's idea. He said, yeah, I need a photo of this. He said, first and third sprinters in the world, he said, this doesn't really happen to have such a quality. And you know, Claire took the photo. She's quite the good photographer, and she got the right angles. I hope it was a good one.
Yeah.
But you know, look, we tweeted it out. You know, Rob doesn't have a Twitter handle, but Melanie Sharp's there. And look, it's just something that, you know, we're trying to fly the Aussie flag up here for everyone, and it's taken a big warm welcome. And as I said, to have two sprinters of that caliber, you know, Buffering's obviously conquered the Dubai, and he's trying to come here, and we're obviously trying to conquer Hong Kong and maybe go on forward to the rest of the world. So it's quite a phenomenal photo, really.
Yeah, it is.
That we're pretty proud of.
No, I'm glad you took it, mate. 80 off your page, 81 retweets and 151 likes. And I know there's a lot that, after I retweeted it, have taken it through that page. So, yeah, no, it's a photo that you'll treasure forever. Hey, mate, we better go. Rob's online. Thanks very much, mate.
Right, thanks, mate. Cheers.
Good on you.
Soon.
Good on you. Michael Hawkes joining us there. And Rob Heathcote, that photo is simply amazing.
Yeah, it was a cracker, eh? It was too good an opportunity to miss, and I handed the phone to Claire and said, snap away, Claire, and we can see if we can get a beauty, and we did. So, yeah. No, it's good stuff. And as Michael just said, it's wonderful for us. I mean, he's right. The Aussie horses all look brilliant, and whilst we're all here to individually do our best and try and win for ourselves and our connections, it's quite an honour, as I found in Dubai, to represent your country on the international stage. It makes us very proud.
I noted 2 mornings ago, Buffering, who's been there longer than any other horse, obviously going from Dubai to there, he really did get set into a gallop there on the grass. He seemed to enjoy it, Rob.
He did, and I took a lot of heart. I wasn't here live to view it, but I took a lot of heart from a well-known judge here, Alan Aitken, who writes for the South China Post, and he saw me at the track yesterday, and he said, Rob, he said, I've seen a lot of gallops here. He said, that old bugger of yours, he went sensational yesterday. So, you know, to have him already here, well settled, he looks in superb order. Going into, what are we now, a week and a half from the actual race, so, you know, I can back off him the week going into the race, have him nice and fresh and keen and full of enthusiasm. So, no, very happy.
I spoke with Damien Brown this morning, more interested of whether he was going to be riding in Brisbane on Victory Stakes Day, and he said, no, I'll be leaving on, what is it, tomorrow week. So he gets there basically 24 hours or a bit more than that prior to this race.
Yeah, it's a comfortable flight when you're sitting up the front of the plane. You won't suffer too much.
No, he won't. But they are a combination. And I think the thing with Damien too, he just knows Hong Kong racing, having ridden there.
Yeah, he does. But more importantly, Andrew, he knows buffering. And you'll note the wonderful relationship they have. He very rarely has to use the persuader. You know, he gives him a reminder now and then when he needs it. But he knows exactly when buffering's giving his 100% full effort, and that's a relationship that's formed over time, and he's never given him a poor ride. He just knows him and loves him so well.
Now, I've got to ask you before I say goodbye, and we'll talk more about buffering next week in the build-up to the race, but you've got a few that are resuming at this Sunshine Coast meeting on the weekend. Are you looking forward to seeing any of those?
Yeah, I am. In fact, I'm just sitting at my desk here in my room about to head to the track, and I've just been going through and having a look at some form and sending out some emails to clients. But obviously Kaiser Farms, I mean, yep. He's such a deserved win at his last start after being unlucky his three previous runs. So, you know, he's going to be racing well again. He'll be hard to beat. But, you know, I've got two very nice sons of Mossman, Hopfgarten.
Yep.
He's resuming in the 1,200-metre race, the listed Ascot handicap, 58 kilos and 1,200. It probably goes against him. They might be a bit sharp for him, but he's got a really good first-up record, and I think with Damien on top, he knows him well. He can race well at reasonably good each-way odds. And I've got a nice young horse, probably the toughest race of the day, the get-out stake. Gee. You know, my bloke Priv Larker, he's drawn barrier 20, so that's going to make it really hard for him. And the 1,000's probably too short, but it is one hell of a race. I mean, very competitive, a lot of up-and-coming rising Brisbane stars, and look forward to that race. But Priv Larker will certainly be hitting the line.
Looking forward to all of those races. And the first one you mentioned, race one, number two, is Kaiser France there for Damien Brown on Saturday. Mate, we'll talk. We'll be a pest next week. I promise you, we're going to be pestering you next week, most mornings, to get the latest on buffering. Good luck with it, mate.
Happy to keep everyone in touch, mate.
Good on you. Thanks, Rob. Rob Heathcote there. If you haven't seen that photo, if you can try and maybe even Google or get someone that's on social media, it's a beautiful photo. Michael Hawks holding on to Chautauqua and Rob Heathcote holding on to buffering. And it's been retweeted all around the world. It was a really special moment. You can just hear them talking about it.